This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The U.S. Census released its preliminary data this week. And as we've discussed on the show prior, Michigan is headed toward losing a congressional seat. That was anticipated. Now the question will become, which congressional districts and members will feel the squeeze with new lines? Where did population expand and contract in a way that might pit incumbent against incumbent in the future map of Michigan's districts? Here to help us break down the numbers is Kurt Metzger. He's founder emeritus of Data-Driven Detroit and also the mayor of Pleasant Ridge, right outside the city of Detroit. Suffice to say, he is a census junkie. Kurt, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks, April. It's good to be back. Census junkie, indeed.
The results on the preliminary data were, again, probably not surprising, but maybe still a bit frustrating to learn. Officially, Michigan will lose a seat next session. Mm-hmm. What were your early impressions of the early data?
Well, we did expect, everybody anticipated the loss, although with the way the census went, there was still a great deal of question as to what the final results. You just really didn't know. And actually, in the end, fewer states lost congressionals. There were fewer shifts of seats than people had anticipated. Michigan was interesting. Michigan's population number came in a little bit higher than what the 2020 estimate had been. So we did get above 10 million residents. So in that event, we did see some gain in population more than we expected, but certainly we did not get enough to save that seat. And again, we were not unusual in the Midwest. We were joined by Illinois and Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York. So it was just right around the Great Lakes that all lost congressional seats once again.
I see also that California is going to lose a congressional seat for the first time since its statehood. Would you say that nationally there were any surprises in these parts of the inner Midwest and the coastal, sort of the coastal capitals, given the way we've seen population move around the U.S. lately?
Well, I think California was somewhat of a surprise, although we know California has been losing population. So I guess nobody had necessarily assigned them to lose a seat, but it was the first seat in 170 years. And it is a lot of movement out of California toward Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, a lot of people moving out for a number of reasons. Other than that, there weren't as many surprises. I think people expected Florida to gain two seats, but they only gained one. Texas gained two seats. It tended to be that same trend we've seen over and over. So not so much surprises. I think New York was a little upset that they missed out on a seat by 89 people.
That's crazy.
I know. Very much so.
Something to remember the next time people tell us that it really does matter to have your person counted in the census.
I know. It's just like voting. It is amazing how important it is and how some of these very small differences can make such a big result. Minnesota was thankful for it. So they just held on.
Yeah. Statistically speaking, Michigan did not lose population, but we did grow at a slow enough rate that this loss is happening. Let's talk about that a little bit. The areas that failed to grow, what were those places?
Michigan has a real problem or has a number of problems in terms of population. You have an entire more than two-thirds of the state that is in terms of counties that are losing population. If you look at the Upper Peninsula outside of Marquette and Houghton, where you've got universities and ancillary economies, you're losing population. Most of the northern Lower Peninsula, with the exception of the Grand Traverse area, is losing population. And primarily what it is an aging population that, in fact, we now have, I think at the last time I looked, was based on 2019 births and deaths. First of all, Michigan hit its lowest number of births since 1941 in 2019, and we'll have even fewer in 2020. About 60 plus counties have more deaths on an annual basis than births. That's problematic. Over 20 of our counties have a median age well over 50, which is more than any state number of counties, more than any state in the country. And you combine that with also, so you've got those losses, but you also have losses in the urban centers of Bay City, Saginaw, Flint, Detroit, Jackson, you know, a number of urban areas have been losing population as well. So it's the state, you know, is there are a lot of issues that need to be dealt with, and a lot of areas that on the, you know, looking at it right now, have very little chance of gaining population. And so if you're limiting your population growth to a third of the state, that is problematic for future growth.
Will the areas that saw the biggest shifts happening in population, will those also be the most likely to lose a representative?
Well, you're going to have to, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, this is going to be a whole new ballgame this year with the Citizens Redistricting Commission.
Yeah, this is the independent commission that Michigan voters approved by a ballot measure a couple of years ago. They're not political names. Yeah, they're not political names. These are just plain folks who volunteered.
Yes, fortunately, Michigan is one of the few states that have taken on and having a nonpartisan redistricting effort for the first time. One thing I can say is that we don't know where this is going to go, but we do know that at least one district, the one district that includes the Upper Peninsula and actually district number one, already encompasses over 30 counties. And looking at the numbers that we're going to have to meet, each district that gets drawn has to have 775,179 people, give or take one or two. They have to be equal in population. And in order to even get that in those counties that have been losing population, they're going to have to add even more counties to that one district. So that will then trickle down going south. The question will be in those districts that are way below what the ideal population is going forward, such as District 5, which is around Flint, Districts 13 and 14 in the Detroit area, couple of the districts in the middle of the state, all of them are going to have to enlarge in some way to gain population. And the question will be, based on the criteria that the commission is using around equal population, compactness, and then particularly this concept of communities of interest, all bets are off. I mean, it's going to be very interesting how this plays out. We know we've got to lose a district. We know it's going to come down to probably the mid to southern part of the state. It usually comes down to Southeast Michigan and may very well again.
Yeah. You know, in this state, Kurt, registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans, but that hasn't always necessarily translated to a very simple power dynamic. There are independent voters to be won over by whatever candidates come out of this shakeup in congressional districts. There are party members who sit out elections, depending on what's going on at the top of the ticket. Do you think that with all of this going on with the Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, would you expect to see the state's political balance shift based on what's going on right now and what you saw in the census data?
Right now, we're at 7-7 and in terms of congressional representation. And certainly, we know it's been close in terms of past elections. With the redistricting, it's going to be difficult because you do have a lot of growth over on the western side of the state, but certainly the way the districts could be drawn, I think it could be a 7-6 Democrat, could be 7-6 Republican. It's kind of at that margins. I don't think you're going to go wide either way. I mean, I think the way the state is in terms of the rural vote is still very Republican, and that accounts for large districts. It's going to be an extremely interesting, and having the parties out of the process is going to make for a much more interesting process going forward. And I think opening up to a lot of questions as to what will happen when 2020, you know, when the districts get drawn, but also who comes forward to run in the 2022 midterms. And again, how midterms play out when they always talk about the party in power tends to lose seats. But we'll see this time around.
Kurt Metzger is the founder of the nonprofit Data Driven Detroit, and he is also the mayor of Pleasant Ridge. Hey, Kurt, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, April. Bye-bye.